This is Dr. Chad Edwards, and you are listening to podcast number 88 of Against the Grain. Welcome back to another episode of Against the Grain. I'm so excited to join you here. I'm with Diana.
Hello.
How are you guys doing today? How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. I hope everyone else is.
They can't really answer, can they?
No, they can't, honey.
Well, you know, I try. Okay, so today, this topic is foundational to functional medicine. When you think about functional medicine, especially, you know, what we do in our Tulsa clinic, you should be thinking about stuff like this. I mean, this is like, it doesn't get more foundational than this. We're going to put a little bit different twist on some of this stuff because today, well, let's, Diana, tell us what we're talking about.
Okay, so today is one of my favorite topics. We're going to talk about food.
I like talking about food.
Well, and we're also going to talk about how that food plays into things like pain and inflammation.
Awesome. So are you suggesting that there are people that have pain?
I am thinking there might be, and we could probably help them out with that.
Awesome. I guess we should pay a little bit of credit. We got a lot of this information from one of my friends and colleagues, Dr. Hal Blattman. He is a physician out of Cincinnati, Ohio, does some amazing things, and he's just, I mean, he's a lot of fun to talk to, and he's just a wealth of knowledge, and I wish he could be on the podcast with us, but, you know, regardless, I just wanted to give him credit. So, he has a pain management practice, and that's kind of what he does, but he uses a lot of functional medicine components within that. So that's kind of what we're focusing on today. Cool.
Absolutely. We're going to talk a lot about nutrition and how that plays a role in the body processes.
So, okay. Well, you know, one of the things that's definitely been in the news kind of, in fact, President Trump has got a lot of stuff about this kind of stuff and how this is a real crisis, and it's the opioid use and the amount of people that are addicted to opiates, and which is just absolutely tremendous. And one of the things that I tell my patients, so I have one patient in, I think we've got about 5,000 patients in our database, and we've got one that is on chronic opiates, and I recently had to refer them to a pain management specialist because I just couldn't continue to manage it because of exactly what I see happening. And so in this patient, we start off at a level of pain medicine, pain management, and what we see over years is that the use continues to increase. And after years of increase, what I see are patients in pain that start off as patients in pain and end up as patients on narcotics and still in pain. It doesn't fix their pain. It just puts them in a position where they have pain and they're on narcotics, which come with a whole host of other problems. And now, for some people, to be clear, for some people, it's essential because of whatever reason they have to be on them. You know, it's just, it is what it is. So, but I would argue that they're a real problem, and anything that we can do, anything that we can do to reduce or eliminate the need for those medications is absolutely essential. And that's one of the benefits of functional medicine, integrative medicine, trying to get to the underlying problem. Why are we having these issues? So one of the things that Dr. Blattman talked about was, do you remember the statistic that he used about how many prescriptions or how much hydrocodone across the world? Do you remember what that was?
90 to about 98% of hydrocodone is used in the United States.
Just absolutely blows me away. It's like the United States is the only country with pain.
It's awful.
So 2 to 10% of all of the world's prescriptions for hydrocodone come from outside of the United States. It just absolutely blows me away. And certainly there's probably some people that have intense pain that could benefit from it, but it just to give you an idea, we've got a fraction of the world's population and
a majority of the pain meds.
Exactly. It's unbelievable. So, you know, you mentioned that you like talking about food and its impact on the body. So what's one of those quotes I think Hippocrates said?
Oh, yes. Hippocrates. Food is medicine.
That's exactly right. So I think he originally said, let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. Yes. And so we eat our medicine and what we eat treats us. And it's just – and, of course, that was thousands of years ago. So there's an equation that that we kind of use about when things start to pop up as far as medical problems, pain, things like that. You want me to do that? You want to run down it?
Let me give it a shot.
Okay, let's try it.
Okay, so when we're looking at problems and trying to get an equation to let us know how we're doing, we want to look at first what's going good. So we've got good, and then we want to subtract the bad and then add in the reserve. What you get out of all of that is pain. So what we want to do is make sure that we are increasing our good, decreasing our bad, and we want to make sure that we are getting a big enough gap between good and bad so we're putting more in our reserve and moving further and further away from pain.
I love it. So get rid of bad stuff, get more good stuff in there that creates more of a bank account, so to speak.
Yes.
That when bad stuff happens, it kind of dips into that savings account. And, you know, when you run out of reserve and there's more bad than good, then you get pain, you get dysfunction, you get illness and disease and all of those kinds of things.
Yeah, but when you're putting deposits into that reserve and you're making that gap bigger and bigger between good and bad, now you're giving the body an actual chance at healing itself.
Which it loves to do when you give it the right environment.
It's designed to do
it. The right setting. Exactly. It's amazing. So how do we change the good and the bad and give us more reserve? What can we do?
Well, it's really awesome. There's three specific rules that we can break this down and make it really easy. We'll go over one today. But quick summary, the first thing we're going to do is not eat fake or toxic food.
Where do you – fake and toxic food?
I know, right?
I mean, where are you going to find that in the U.S.? You know, everything – we are so well regulated.
Sure.
That our government, surely they've gotten rid of fake and toxic food.
They absolutely have our best interest at heart.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's number two?
Don't eat inflammatory food. That's a big one. We talked in the last podcast, we talked about the omega-3, omega-6 ratio and how it goes through the arachidonic acid pathway. And we mentioned cattle tracks, and they don't pay me anything to plug them, but it's just delicious, good, healthy beef. And there's other places that you can get, you know, good, healthy foods. But this is an example of stuff that's kind of anti-inflammatory food and not eating the inflammatory. That'll be the next podcast that we talk about.
Right.
And then the last part, number three.
Yep. Talking about our gut microbiome and making sure that we are feeding things correctly to get that balance right so that we've got less toxic flora and really good, healthy flora.
Which is plays a huge, huge part in our overall health. Dr. Perlmutter has written books about them. I mean, there's just multiple books, multiple studies are validating how the gut microbiome plays a dramatic role in your overall health. It is critical and essential. And I actually spoke about it, when was that, a couple of years ago? At one of the conferences, the medical conferences here about the metabolic syndrome
almost two years ago.
Something like that. Which we actually did some podcasts about that topic with the gut microbiome and the metabolic syndrome. If you could look back.
Leaky gut.
Yeah. Well, not the leaky gut in the 80s on the podcast. This, the one that goes back, there was part 1, 2, and 3 about diabetes, metabolic syndrome, and that one. So you have to go back a little bit further, but it's there, I promise. So go back and a little teaser on that one if you haven't listened to that one. So I know how passionate you are about fake crap and fake food, and you love it when people sneak stuff into your food or you get stuff that might be causing a problem because you know, you can't really tell, you know.
Are you kidding me? I can tell immediately.
Oh, man, and we all pay. We're not talking bowel. So just to be clear, I don't want to get myself in trouble.
It's aggravating.
It changes. You don't feel well. I get it. It's horrible. What are some of the fake foods that we need to talk about?
All right. So one of them we're going to talk about is NutraSweet. We're going to talk about Splenda, some of your fake sweeteners, saccharin, and then we're going to talk about margarine.
Margarine. Now that's a fun story. That'll be the end of the podcast, and we'll kind of close things out with that. So first, let's talk about NutraSweet. You want to intro this one? You want me to?
Go ahead, take it.
So NutraSweet. I've been kind of passionate about this one. So NutraSweet is the brand name for aspartame, and aspartame is really, I mean, it's horrible stuff. And if you measure the serum, the blood, you do some blood work, you can actually see increases in methanol and formaldehyde. Now, if you don't remember, formaldehyde is what we use to embalm, or that was one of the chemicals in the past that we've used to embalm dead people.
Isn't that also a carcinogen?
It is.
Yeah.
Of course, the people that are being embalmed don't really care.
They don't care.
Yeah, no. But methanol is it's a wood alcohol that in certain levels it increases formic acid, which causes retinal toxicity, and you can go blind over this. When I worked in Gallup, New Mexico, we saw stuff like this because we had a lot of alcoholics out there, and they would drink anything they could get their hands on, and if they got on a hold of methanol, then you can see multiple toxic effects. It is not like your standard alcohol. It's not your Bud Light, it's not your whiskeys, it is bad, toxic stuff. Most of the time around here, we'll see it in de-icers and things like that. That's kind of where you would often find it. So just bad stuff. So aspartame increases the levels of this stuff, and there is a dose-dependent increase or a dose-related increase with cancer in rats. So the higher the dose, the more likely it is you're going to see cancer in rats. And liver cancer was one of the ones that stood out. But there is an increased risk of multiple cancers. And the interesting thing is, even if you consume less than a can per day.
You're still susceptible.
Yeah, it's not like I drink 20 of these things every day.
Right.
It's even in small amounts. There's about 180 milligrams, depending on the source, 125, 180 milligrams of aspartame in one can of Diet Coke. So it's a fair amount, and it breaks down to the aspartame breaks down into about 40% aspartic acid, 50% phenylalanine, and 10% methanol. And again, methanol is that really toxic alcohol. There is no what we consider safe level of methanol. And the interesting thing is that when you consume this aspartame, you've got aspartame that's getting broken down, and free methanol is created when you heat the aspartame to above 86 degrees.
Well, wait a minute. My body is above that 86 degrees.
Yes, that's exactly right. So when you drink it, you're creating free methanol.
Fabulous.
That's right. And so again, toxic, retinal toxicity. There's other toxicities that can occur, but there is a cumulative effect. It's a cumulative poison with a slow rate of excretion. So
it's building up.
Exactly.
And I can't get rid of it fast enough.
Exactly. And so, again, when you go back to that good, bad reserve, you know, especially with these patients in pain, when you take bad crap like this stuff and you drink a bunch of Diet Coke, you've got toxin buildup. Your body is trying to deal with those toxins. You start impinging on your reserve, and this can increase your pain. So I'm not saying Diet Coke causes pain, but for people in pain, it can make your pain worse. So clean that stuff up. Don't drink it. Get rid of it. So the safety zone, according to the EPA, is 7.8 milligrams per day. And the average drink contains between 15 and 36 milligrams. I believe he's talking about the methanol.
Mm.
So aspartame can worsen depression. It blocks glutamate from binding to the NMDA receptor. And NMDA is one of those things that it plays an important role in pain management, and certain drugs like ketamine and methadone will interact with the NMDA receptor, and it's different than the opiate receptor, but it's one of those ways that you can have some pain management, some pain benefit by binding that receptor, and aspartame
blocks it, blocks, won't allow it to bind to it.
Exactly. So it's just one of those ways that if you find that some of these medications are no longer working for you, then you need to consider what toxins are being addressed in your system. And again, from that functional medicine perspective, you got to look at why is stuff working, why is it not working,
exactly.
What are the toxins, all of those kinds of things. So from, at our clinic in Tulsa, in addressing the functional medicine approach to these kinds of things, you want to make sure that you address all of those things. You know, another kind of an interesting, it's almost a side note, but when we put patients on our bioidentical hormone pellets and they come in and they're supposed to last between 3 and 4 months. So when you have these patients that are on hormone pellets and they're only lasting 45 days, which actually happened, I had a patient last week that said that. And, you know, I said, the first question I asked was, well, what's your stress like? And they were like, oh, it's awful. And, you know, so we started going down how stress impacts the body, because these pellets should last in the 3 to 4 month range.
It's they not were sucking them down.
Exactly. And there's reasons why, like one patient, we actually had two patients almost back to back. One of them, we were treating some of the stress components by giving more testosterone. And that was working, but she was burning through it so fast that, it was a very clear picture of almost too much testosterone, but that's what she needed in order to treat those symptoms.
To maintain.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so not my preferred, and from a functional medicine perspective, I would have treated this patient on hormone pellets differently, but she couldn't get rid of the stress. Mm-hmm. So we just have to manage, which again, it's not my preferred and not really the functional medicine approach, but we're doing the best we can for each patient as an individualized approach.
Exactly.
So sorry for that sideline. Okay, so that's kind of aspartame in a nutshell. And, you know, as I say that, I can't help but think about Austin Powers saying, no, this is aspartame in a nutshell. Oh. Look at me. I'm in a nutshell.
Good heavens. Sorry.
So the next one, and I know this is another one that you love. What's the next one?
Okay, we've got Splenda, sucralose. This is the little yellow package that you're going to see.
These, you know, so this fake crap is color-coded.
Oh, absolutely. You ask for blue, you ask for pink, or you ask for yellow.
It's amazing. So can't I just get real food? The interesting thing to me about sucralose, and I don't think sucralose is as toxic as aspartame, but, I mean, it's still, I don't think it's a good, healthy, beneficial thing, and it's fake, and it had to be synthesized. It doesn't occur naturally in nature. So this is another one that we got to get rid of. But it's made by taking a sugar molecule and chlorinating it. Now, interestingly, and I'm not saying it's linked in the same way, but we make nerve agents, biochemical nerve agents on a battlefield, you know, like what mm-hmm. Saddam Hussein used and all those kinds of things. Some of these nerve agents are made, or some of these chemical agents are made by chlorinating other chemicals. So when we talk to patients about the need for iodine and the toxins that they get exposed to, chloride, fluoride, bromide, and you get them in water and
exactly.
bread and those kinds of things. Well, this is another source of chloride, and chlorine kills bacteria in pools. That's what we treat pools. We treat our water, trying to kill the bacteria.
But now it's killing the bacteria in my gut.
Exactly. Exactly. And so we've got this, one of the things that we'll talk about on one of the next couple of podcasts is the gut microbiome and how important that is for our overall health. And when we get things like sucralose with this chlorine that helps to sterilize water and, you know, all of those kinds of things, then that can mess up the gut microbiome.
Absolutely. It will not differentiate between good or bad. It's an equal opportunity offender. It will just go in and wipe out.
Yep, exactly. So let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and finish up with our other two components that we'll talk about. So we'll be right back. All right, we are back. So we've talked about some pain. We've talked about good, bad, reserve. And when you have more bad than good and you get rid of your reserve, pain goes up. We talked a little bit about not eating fake crappy foods like NutraSweet and all the damage that that can do. We talked about sucralose. Now we're going to talk about – so we talked about the – is it the blue and the yellow that we talked about so far?
I know we've talked about yellow.
Okay.
So.
Whatever the NutraSweet is.
Exactly.
I thought
– Are they blue?
I thought that was – I thought NutraSweet or the aspartame was the pink one. And I'm quite sure. I think saccharin's is the blue one. I don't remember.
I don't use it, so.
Shoot.
I know.
All right. Well, talk about the next one, and I'll see if I can find it real quick.
Find it. Okay. Well, saccharin is our pink package. This is going to be what we refer to as, like, sweet and low, sweet twin, NectoSweet, or a couple of other different names for it. One of the biggest concerns with utilizing this fake sweetener is that it is going to alter our gut flora. So, you want to let us know what you found? Did you find the answer?
Yeah, so saccharin, sweet and low, that is the pink package.
Okay.
Sorry. I don't eat the crap, so I don't remember
exactly.
Which one's which.
Exactly. I see it on the tables at restaurants, but I don't use them. So, with your saccharin, you do have to be cautious about the fact that it will alter the gut flora. And in doing so, then that can, of course, lead to other issues with leaky gut, which then in turn is going to just increase inflammation, which is going to feed into that pain equation. So if we're altering the gut flora, our bad is going to increase, our good is going to decrease, our reserve is being consumed, and then we're going to definitely experience some pain.
Yep, exactly. And so just to clarify, the aspartame is NutraSweet, also Equal, and it is the blue package.
Oh, so, very good. We did hit all the colors.
Yep, there you go.
All right.
All right. So any other artificial sweeteners we really need to talk about?
Those are the big players right now.
Okay. And the naturally occurring ones are definitely more – there's more safety with those. You definitely have to pick your poisons. If you're adding sweeteners, just be careful. You know, we definitely like the I can't think off the top of my head.
Stevia.
There you go. So that one is my preferred. I am not a fan of agave, and this is another podcast, but that is fructose. Tastes sweet. Your body handles it differently. Yes, they'll say it doesn't make your blood sugar go up. That's not a false statement, but your body reacts to this very, very differently, and it basically you replenish liver glycogen, and the rest goes to fat. So,
oh dear,
I recommend avoiding the agave and
yeah,
the agave nectars and things like that.
Future podcast for sure.
Yep, exactly. So the last one that we're going to talk about today is one of my favorites.
I know. I'm going to let you handle this because you're such a history buff.
Okay. So we're going to talk about margarine. And the interesting thing and why Diana said I'm such a history buff is because of where this crap came from. So the history on this is pretty interesting to me. So, you know, butter, it's one of those things that, you know, it's a commodity. So Napoleon in the 1800s ran out of butter. And so we had a contest to see who could make the best butter.
Because we weren't in a war or anything.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So he wanted to see who would come up with the best thing. And so this guy, I don't remember who it was, ran this bubble hydrogen gas through vegetable oil and won. And so this butter shortage during the war was so restricted that laws were repealed and it had to be imported or produced. And so they were producing the margarine, but they tested it in animals or something. It wouldn't sustain life. So, of course, what do we do with it? Let's put it in food for
Let's
humans.
Let's put it in our food. I mean, and guys, this is true. Like, you can set it out on the counter. Like, it does not have to be refrigerated.
Right.
Just set it out, leave it out.
It's amazing. And to be clear, it is not butter It is
not. Don't do that with your butter. Do it with margarine.
And of course, they've come out since. They used to say, "Oh, we got to get rid of butter because it's saturated fat and it's an animal fat and it's bad for you and all of this crap." And but you know, just eat this plastic crap, and that's really good for you, and that will be healthier and all this kind of good stuff. Of course, they've come back out and recanted. So
slowly.
Yeah, exactly. And it's almost like you have to just let people die before they'll admit that they were wrong. So just in general, so that's kind of where margarine came from. And not only with margarine, there's other – this process of hydrogenation. So that's where they bubbled this hydrogen gas through the vegetable oil. And so it biochemically, it allows hydrogen molecules to bind to these unsaturated fatty acids. And we talked a little bit about that in the last podcast. Mm-hmm. And so that's a process called hydrogenation. And so you'll make – partially hydrogenated or hydrogenated fats, which, you know, it ranks right up there with drinking battery acid as far as being beneficial for your health. And so a lot of these processed hydrogenated foods won't allow mold to grow, just like you were saying a minute ago. It you can leave it out on your counter. I mean, how many listeners out there, if you have your peanut butter, your Skippy, your Jif, your Peter Pan, how many of you put that in the refrigerator?
No.
Nobody does that. And it will never grow mold. No. Somebody please contact me and let me know if I'm wrong.
The expiration date is just a suggestion, so you go buy a new one.
Exactly. I mean, it's good forever. Well, it's not going to deteriorate forever because mold that won't grow on it either.
Yeah.
So if it won't grow, if your food won't grow mold, it won't grow you either.
That's right.
So run away. So hydrogenated fat is considered a poison. And again, so your Skippy, Jif, Peter Pan, all those things, these are hydrogenated fats. I'm not vilifying peanut butter, but the hydrogenated fat is bad. Look for those natural versions. So processed foods, we do that because it increases shelf life. Of course, the essential fatty acids that you need, and again, if you listen to our last podcast where we talked about the omega-3s, these things degrade over time. And if you look at your fish oil capsules, they will usually have some kind of antioxidant like vitamin E, astaxanthin, something with it because it prolongs or it provides some stability to it so it's not getting rancid because of oxidation. You know, here, the processing of the food is kind of what does that. You know, good, healthy foods don't have a shelf life. I mean, they don't last long.
Right.
You know, you're talking a week in the fridge, and that's about it. So the oxygen and the hydrogenation, it allows some of these fats to become rancid. And, you know, it was important in the 1930s and the 1940s to have a long shelf life because – we didn't have as much refrigeration. We didn't want to waste things because of, you know, the World War and those kinds of things. So this hydrogenation came kind of into prime. But
now it's become a way of life. And
yeah, exactly.
It's not necessary.
And so what are some of the things that hydrogenation causes?
Well, some of the things that you're going to find whenever you have a diet high in hydrogenated oils is your cholesterol is going to rise. Your LDL is going to rise, and
that's the bad cholesterol.
Yes, your bad one.
So I hate that term, but we'll call it bad cholesterol.
Yeah, and then your good one for
the HDL.
Your HDL.
So that one goes down.
Will decrease, absolutely. What else do we have?
So we release prostaglandins. The prostaglandin balance changes more toward an inflammatory profile. And again, it's interesting that we just did the other pod. We didn't plan that. We just did this other podcast on the omega-3s, the omega-3, omega-6 balance, and why flaxseed oil is bad for you. And so we gave the foundation for that right there, that balance changes. And, you know, it affects gastric acid secretion. So how many people out there have GERD or reflux?
Yeah.
And if you do, you need to listen to our podcast on reflux. I'll pull it up before we get off so that we know what episode number that was.
And we can link it in the show notes too if we
need
to.
Yeah, of course. So it was actually number 30.
There you go.
It was like right there. So number 30, we'll address that. Inflammation goes up. Diabetes goes up. Cell membrane composition changes. So one cell has to communicate with another. It can't do it well because of these hydrogenated fats.
It's, you just kind of imagine it just being covered in this like plastic shell.
Like saran wrap?
Yeah. And so it can't communicate. Things can't get into the cell. Things can't get out of the cell. And so you just kind of have this breakdown at a cellular level.
And which is just absolutely horrible. And, you know, if we eat hydrogenated oil today, we incorporate those fats. When you look at the biochemistry of how all this stuff works, when we eat these fats, then that fat becomes part of your cell membrane. And that's, you got to take cellular biology or biology on some level to understand kind of what I'm talking about here. But that's an absolute true fact. The omega-3s that we eat, they are incorporated into the cell membrane on our cells. In fact, when we measure your omega-3 levels, we are measuring the fatty acids on the surface of the red blood cells. It's just a very interesting way of doing that. The more crappy fat you eat, the more is incorporated into your cell membrane. Doesn't matter. All of the fats you eat get incorporated there, or at least on some level. And so whether they're good or bad, it's bad. So they become a part of our cell membrane, and so those cells don't absorb nutrients as efficiently, and they don't release their products. So the cells are supposed to make things, and in some cases they're inflammatory chemicals or anti-inflammatory chemicals. The cells lose flexibility, neuronal transmission, so going from one cell to the next and mm-hmm. from nerves to the next, won't be normal. After years of eating like this, you can think about your body like a GM, old school GM truck that has been fitted with plastic parts.
It's not going to work the same.
Yeah, exactly. So Dr. Blattman said that if you stop eating hydrogenated oils today, it's going to take 4 months to get rid of them out of your body. Your red blood cells that you made today will have a lifespan of 4 months. And so 90 to 120 days, and will contain hydrogenated oil in their membrane composition until you get rid of them. So if you think you can cheat once a week and do okay, think again.
No, it's going to take 4 months.
Yep.
Every time you cheat, four months exactly. until you're clean again.
Now, the good news is that if you eat crappy every day and then you get rid of crappy food half the time, then your cells are only 50% crappy instead of, you know, 100% crappy.
That's glass half full. I like it.
Exactly. Well, I mean, you got to start somewhere.
Exactly. So start now.
Exactly. It makes an absolute difference when you want to look at, you know, the functional medicine approach to overall health. Then you've got to look at, what am I eating? What kind of trash is coming in? How am I detoxifying? All of those kinds of things matter, and those are some of the things that we evaluate on our patients when they come in to see us at our Revolution Health and Wellness Clinic in Tulsa. So please call our clinic. Schedule your appointment today. If you haven't had your omega-3s checked in a while, schedule your appointment for that. Very simple to do that. And start getting rid of crap out of your diet.
Don't eat fake food.
Amen. Don't be fake. Don't eat fake.
Be real.
You guys take care. We'll catch you next time on our next episode of Against the Grain.